This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervy. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervy.
Hi, I am Alan Gervy, and this is Gervy's Law. Welcome, welcome. It's nice to be back on the air. It's been a couple of weeks. This show's been going on for 10 years, but we took a little break, as I've said before in the last couple of episodes. Had some great guests on the last couple of weeks, some well-known attorneys, and we're going to take a little departure from the lawyer life today, even though our guest, I guess, sometimes has to make a lot of decisions and be a person who is equal-handed and justice and thinking like a lawyer after all the years that she has coached basketball. I know that there's been a lot of issues that come up, but she's handled them very well, at least according to her players, the women on the University of Iowa Hawkeyes basketball team, one of the best teams, if not the best, maybe second best this year. But, you know, another game, it might have been different. I got to tell you, before I speak to Lisa Bluder, I do want to say that this has been a tough weekend for me. My son, who is 11 years old, had a baseball tournament out in Riverside, California. And my daughter, who is 10 years old, had a softball tournament out in Malibu, California. And the games, of course, conflicted. They were at the same time. And this is a problem that a lot of parents experience. Maybe the Bluder bunch had these kind of problems as well growing up. But I'll tell you, it is hard for a father and a mother, of course, to determine where they're going to go, who they're going to watch, and how they're going to facilitate a baseball tournament and a softball tournament on the same weekend. So it was really tough. I will tell you, though, when I went to my daughter's games, the girls have such great spirit, such enthusiasm. It's such a pleasure to watch them play, and they did quite well. My son's tournament was a little more difficult, didn't win as many games, but sometimes I looked in the dugout and the boys were a little bit down and depressed. So I don't know. We got to give equal opportunity to both, but it seemed like the girls won this weekend in terms of their enthusiasm. And with that, I want to talk to Lisa Bluder now, because she has been the coach for the University of Iowa Hawkeyes for the last 24 years, 883 wins in her career as a coach over 40 years, made the last two NCAA women's finals, unfortunately losing, but showing amazing teamwork. And it's tough when you're playing against some of these teams. Just to make it to the finals is really something to be proud of. She was the Naismith National Women's Basketball Coach of the Year in 2019. And Lisa, first of all, welcome to Gervy's Line. Congratulations on another spectacular season.
Well, thank you, Alan. I'm looking forward to this. This should be fun. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Well, I don't know if you should look forward to it, because so many of my guests over the last 10 years, you know, they put the phone down after they spoke to me and say, what really just happened? But I think you can hold your own. When you deal with everything that you have dealt with over a career in college sports, we know that you are a survivor and, of course, have done just amazingly well. I'll tell you, so many compliments are rained down on you. Caitlin Clark, of course, number one draft pick in the WNBA draft this year, said that you are a player's coach, and that's what she liked most about you. Not necessarily all the knowledge you have, which is expansive and probably more than most every other coach in the country, but being a player's coach, what does that mean, as Caitlin Clark says about you?
You know, I think what that means is that you're willing to listen to your players, concerns, and really listen to them. You know, I've been around the game for a long time, and I think somebody that was younger that maybe didn't have the experience that I had, but somebody like Caitlin could have walked all over them. And that's when you see your players coach, it's not that you give in to your players all the time, but I think that you try to relate to them. You listen to them. You try to, make life good for them in that they can expose their talents to everybody else and not, you know, hide them. So I think that's what she means by that.
But thinking about what kinds of pressures the women have now in college, playing college sports at such a high level versus when you played and back in the day, you know, you didn't have all the social media. Of course, you didn't have all the fanfare and the television contracts that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Isn't it more difficult to be that player's coach when there are so many distractions that the players have?
It's absolutely more difficult because there are so many things that can pull them away from the mission that you have, you know, set for yourself and for the team. It's a really hard time. It's funny because it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. I think we've all heard that, right? I mean,
yeah.
It really is because they have so many opportunities right now. We have more television exposure. We have more fan support. We have more financial support, more administrative support than we've ever had during our time as female athletes, but at the same time, we're being judged on social media and, you know, and they have so many distractions from everything from social media to parents or fans or, you know, haters out there. So it's a great time and it's also a tough time.
You know, Kate Martin, another one of your players who went in the second round to the Las Vegas Aces this year, said about you that you instill great values in us. Isn't that the highest compliment when one of your players who is graduating can now say that she has values instilled in her because of her coach, not necessarily just focusing on the great play of the Iowa Hawkeyes?
It's the best compliment. I'm telling you, I think that a long time ago, I guess, you know, just winning wasn't enough for me to get up out of bed in the morning. You kind of mentioned how many wins I had, and that's important. And winning keeps you your job. Winning keeps the stands full. But it's not, I guess, at this point, what motivates me in life and what motivates me and it gets me excited to get out of bed every day is having the opportunity to impact 20 to 22-year-old young women. And they're so impressionable at this age. And I just really believe in that. I think having, you know, being able to create the next generation of female leaders and help having some impact on that is really rewarding. And that's what gets me out of bed every day.
You know, you have said that you coach your players to be successful in life. What a lot of people don't understand that for every Caitlin Clark or Kate Martin or Megan Gustafson, whoever it is, the superstars, there's a lot of girls and young women who you are coaching who will never play professional basketball. How do you look at that in terms of trying to put this goal together to win a national championship, but at the same time, think about these women that this probably is going to be it for them in basketball?
Yeah, I mean, we're all different. You know, every player is different in what their dreams are. You know, some people want to be in the WNBA like Caitlin and Kate, and some people like Gabby Marshall want to be the best occupational therapist they can be. And so I think it's, again, going back to finding out what's important to that player and how can I help them become their best. And it's not, and not everybody wants to play professional basketball. And so for those that don't want to play professional basketball, how can I make them the best dentist or the best lawyer or the best whatever it is that they want to do? How can we help them with that? That's, to me, what our job is. It's not just to win games.
When you talk about making someone the best that they can be, if, for instance, their goal isn't to play in the WNBA or if they aren't good enough, how do they still have the motivation in the college game? Do you see that they start getting distracted and maybe focusing on school more or maybe focusing on their future without really buying into winning a national championship?
No, I really don't. I think that this is such a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you know, to really be together with a group of women and set a goal for yourself and then do everything you can for 6-7 months to achieve it. they know that rest of their life will be there. And really, the better they do on the basketball court, the better student athlete they are. It's going to give them more opportunities, whether that's in basketball or something else. I think that, you know, we work on every day making everybody feel important in our circle, whether you're Caitlin, who is the leading scorer on the team, or somebody that maybe never gets off the bench. You know, if those people feel valued, they will stay invested. If they don't feel valued, just like in any job, if they don't feel valued, yeah, they're going to check out. So it's our job to make sure that people aren't checking out, that people are staying, you know, mission focused.
When you look back on your career and your upbringing, did you ever think that you would be in a position where you would be impacting young women's lives the way you do? And how do you address problems? There are so many problems that everyone faces. You know, as a lawyer, I'm always trying to help people, even though a lot of what I do isn't in court. It's with my clients trying to solve problems. Where did you get this kind of ability to communicate and solve problems when you've devoted so much of your life to actually the X's and O's of basketball?
Yeah, I never would have thought that I would be in a position where I'm impacting young women's lives. It just, when I was growing up, you know, I was kind of one of those Title IX babies. I was playing basketball in college. I graduated from high school in 79, so I was, you know, Title IX just passed in 72. So we still haven't caught up to this date 50 years later, but you know, it was worse back then, right? So, right. You know, just having the opportunity to play college basketball for me was a dream, but it was also an opportunity to play for college and nothing beyond that. Nothing. It was a end to a means, really, just to be able to play the game I love to play and get a little bit of money to do it to help me pay the bills to pay college expenses. So, you know, you can't dream of being something if you can't ever see it. And I didn't really have the opportunity to really see those, you know, these type of opportunities. It wasn't until 76 we had Olympic women's basketball. And so that was when I first saw that team, I thought, hey, that's something I'd like to do. And it was later in my life. It wasn't when I was really, really young. So I've definitely changed my style from thinking it was all X's and O's to understanding and valuing the people around me, whether that's your staff, your players, your fans, whatever it is. I definitely have changed with the times. I think earlier in my career, I might have been a little bit more like a Bobby Knight or a Pat Summitt, you know, but I've learned I enjoy it a lot more when I have the relationships with my players. So, never did I ever dream that it would be impacting young women's lives when I was in college or getting right out of college.
I think, Lisa, I was going to say, I think you just answered the question about a player's coach, because it seems, you know, when you mention people like Bobby Knight, you think, oh, wow, that's diametrically opposed to a player's coach. And that's what right. Caitlin Clark is talking about. And through the years, I guess it's that experience that you gained that turned you into that player's coach, even though way back when you were, you know, bugging your dad to move bushes at your house so you could shoot from farther out to get a 3-point shot.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a 3-point shot back then.
I know that, but you created it by moving the bushes back.
Yeah, it's yeah, I mean, you know, those were our role models, though, when I was starting coaching, was Bobby Knight. It, you know, was those type of people, those authoritative type of people that you're going to do it my way or it's the highway. And we've all seen, like, you know, in the past, especially 10 years, how, you know, the athletes are asking for more. They're asking to be heard. They're asking for, you know, financial opportunities. And so I think that just kids have gotten smarter, and kids are like, we're in a generation where they're not going to take that. And so, and I don't blame them.
Right.
I really don't.
Well, I think when you mentioned Title IX, that has a lot to do with it. I remember back when I was in college at Brown University, there were a lot of controversies regarding the equal spending for men and women's sports at Brown anyway, and around the country. How has Title IX impacted the inequalities that existed back then and how you look at it now?
Well, Title IX has given huge opportunity to so many women. When you look at the numbers of the prior pre-Title IX to now and how much women's participation in athletics has grown, it's astonishing. And it just goes to show you that people thought we didn't want the opportunity. But as soon as we were given the opportunity, we have taken a hold of it and grabbed on and went with everything that we have. And people often wonder, like, well, why is that so important? Why should, you know, women want these opportunities? Because it goes back to, again, sport teaches us life lessons. It's not just basketball lessons. It's experiences that you can't learn in a classroom. You can't read them in a textbook and grasp them. So sport give us these opportunities to learn about teamwork and discipline and goal setting and how to bounce back from failure and, you know, even things like how to be interviewed correctly. I mean, sport teaches us so much. So Title IX just gave all these opportunities to young women. But, you know, when you look at it, we're still not in compliance with Title IX law in many, many places. And that's what's unfortunate is that 50 years later, we're still saying, you know, we're still not in compliance at a lot of places.
Yeah, no question about that. When you look at the funding that is given to the universities, there clearly is a big difference when you're looking at women's sports and men's sports. And, you know, I started the show off talking about my daughter, 10-year-old daughter's softball and my 11-year-old son's baseball tournaments. And I'm listening to you now and I'm thinking, that kind of motivation and spirit that I saw at the softball tournament this weekend versus, and I'm not trying to put the boys down, but I will tell you, the girls just had so much enthusiasm. They wanted it more. They wanted to do well. They wanted to succeed. And it was almost like, you know, it hasn't been given to them. And at 10 years old, they're recognizing that this is an opportunity that they don't want to just give up and stop playing. They want to continue playing through college. And a lot of times you need to have that funding and you need to have the recognition of the women's sports in order to do that.
There's no doubt about that. And I love to hear about their enthusiasm, excitement about playing a team sport and learning how to get along with others to, you know, reach that common goal. But I mean, again, it goes back to role models. And I think that's what our team did so well this year is we expose so many people to women's basketball and the joy of competing in athletics. And I've had so many people say to me, oh, your team brought us so much joy. Or, you know, this country could use some unification. So if our team can help unify people when our differences seem insurmountable at times, you know, that's an amazing byproduct. And I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. But you have to have the role models. Again, I'm going to go back to the 76 Olympic team or in 73 when Billie Jean King was playing Bobby Riggs in the Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah.
And just the opportunities that, you know, hey, I see it now. I can do it. That's what has to happen.
That's right. And the movie on that was great, too. But that's another story. Lisa, I have a confession to make. Is it okay if I do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's my confession, and I'm going to say this out to the public for the first time. I watched the women's final NCAA title game, but did not watch the men's. I'm sorry, I have to say it. I'm coming out. I know that the title game for the women outdrew the men's championship game, and I was one of those people who watched the women's game, of course, cheering for the Hawkeyes, and I didn't watch the men's. What's up with the popularity where someone like me would just choose to watch the women's game versus the men's?
Well, you're not alone, right? Because it was a $4 million
difference.
You know,
yeah, difference.
So this is I have a theory on this, Alan. I really believe that, okay, in men's basketball, they have players that come in that are tremendous players, and then they leave after a year to go into the NBA. So they're not really there for a long period of time like in the women's game. The women's game come in as high school players, and they stay there 4 years. So people, they are able to build their brand. People get to know them. Year after year, consistency on television, and that is like a snowball that just continues to grow. where the men are having those opportunities. Women are, you know, people get to know the women better because they're around longer, and they also have an opportunity to really improve their game before they go into the NBA, WNBA, where the men are kind of one and, okay, now
one
I'm going to go to the, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And I think also the personalities of the women sometimes are more interesting to the audience. And people really want to follow. And the brand of basketball is really incredible. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people realize until they started watching women's basketball how exciting and how great the players are.
You know, our game has really improved over the last 30 years. And it was, you know, John Wooden, at the end of his life, said, I prefer to watch women's basketball over men's basketball because it's played like the game was meant to be played,
right.
You know, pass screening and cutting versus backing somebody down and dunking the ball on them. You know, that's maybe not as exciting to some people, but, you know, some people obviously enjoy that.
Or you might add that, you know, three-point shot after three-point shot, it gets to be a little bit boring, especially in college. And I hate to say it, but watching the men's game, they're taking so many three-point shots and missing them. You know, in the NBA, they're hitting the three-pointers. But
Yeah. You
watch the college basketball men's games and you wonder, why are they taking so many shots when they're missing them? Where you watch the women's game and there's cutting going on, there's picks, and I'm not going to talk about the pick that was heard around the world, but you know, there's all kinds of plays being made, which is much more interesting to watch than these long downtown shots that are missing.
No, I would agree with you, Alan. I mean, I love the style of play. You know, we get up and down. We're the number one scoring team in the country, and we love to play fast, and I think people enjoy that too. But I think the three-point shot is, you know, our version of the men's dunk, but I think the women are pretty darn good at it too.
Right. You can see the difference. Now, talking about, you know, when you mentioned people watching for Caitlin Clark, Kate Martin, whoever, does it ever bother you when, and you did go to the draft, does it ever bother you when someone said, oh, you're Caitlin Clark's coach rather than Lisa Bluter?
I look at that as a compliment. I mean, I really do. And that to me is that I would love to have that title for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, I think anyone who's coached, and I've coached my kids, not at the level that you're talking about, but for many years, my son and daughter, and of course, I coach women's softball, girls' softball, and boys' baseball. And you really do learn to be proud of your players. And, you know, yes, it's my kids, but at the same time, the other players on the team, I'm happy to be their coach versus having the spotlight on me. Now, I just want to change gears because we only have a few minutes left. Looking forward into next year, are things going to be changing at Iowa? You do have, is it Lucy Olson who's going to be transferring to Iowa next year?
We have, yes, attracted to, you know, a player out of the portal. So we're excited about that. We also have the ninth best recruiting class in the nation, according to ESPN, coming in. So we have five young ladies coming in that will be freshmen. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a growing year for us. But the culture that we've established, the fan support that we've established, you know, I don't see that dipping. Certainly, you know, wins are going to be hard when you're playing with such a young group of people. But we do return two starters and Hannah Stalky, who I think had a marvelous year, and Sita Folter really broke out. But, you know, it's hard to sustain that kind of success we've had the last couple of years because of graduation. But we're going to rebuild again.
And are you looking forward to it as kind of a different experience because, you know, you're going to have players who maybe haven't played together that much and maybe having a few struggles at the beginning of the season?
I'm really looking forward to it. To me, it's like that's the fun part of basketball is gelling a group together, teaching the game, like going back to really teaching the game and understanding why you're doing something, when you're doing it, you know, at the right time. So to me, you know, building that team is really, you know, we've reaped the benefits of that the last couple of years, but building it is where I really probably get more enjoyment.
and the television contracts are getting bigger and bigger for women's basketball. That's got to be exciting.
It is exciting. The NCAA just signed a new contract that, you know, tripled the income of what we were getting for women's basketball. We've been short, you know, changing ourselves for a number of years, and the NCAA was shortchanging us too. They didn't understand what they had, what they were hiding under a bushel basket, really. But now, you know, it's shining, and we want to keep it going. We want to fan those flames and keep it going.
Well, I think that that has got to be a great feeling to show everyone what you're made of and how successful women's basketball at the collegiate level can be. Lisa Bluder, first of all, I want to congratulate you on a great season and good luck next season. But more importantly, I want to congratulate you on teaching these young women to be good citizens in life, something so important for our future.
It's the most important thing. That is our future. So I appreciate you saying that, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being with us. I really appreciate it, and good luck next year.
Thank you. I'll take it.
And by the way, enjoy the summer. You deserve it.
You're right. I'm going to.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that was so interesting talking to Lisa Bluder, someone who's been around a few years and doing such great work at the University of Iowa for NCAA women's basketball. That's going to do it for Gervie's Law this week. We have another great show coming up next week. I want to thank everyone for listening. You can always check us out on Facebook or at www.gervieslaw.com. Thanks for listening.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.